Happy Thanksgiving and welcome to Catholic Answers Live. I'm Cy Kellett, your host. I hope your Thanksgiving day is going well. Maybe you got to visit with some family, whether it was in person or over a telephone or via social media. I hope that you had that in your life. And maybe a little bit of turkey and some stuffing, or what else do we do? Pasta. No, we don't do pasta dishes. Steak. Nah. I forget. But green bean casserole. That's the thing. Green bean casserole. We're going to do 2 hours on gratitude today. And it's going to be, I think, a very pleasant conversation because I have two very, very pleasant people to talk with. One of them is Tim Ryland, the editor of Catholic Answers Magazine, the finest magazine on apologetics on earth. Or anywhere within cislunar orbit.
I appreciate it when you say that, Cy, because It's the only Catholic apologetics magazine.
You don't know that for sure. There could be another one. Hello, Tim Ryland.
Hi.
Thank you for being with us.
Happy to be.
Are you able to be grateful today? Are you going to be able to muster up some gratitude for this two-hour extravaganza?
I think there's a little bit of gratitude somewhere in my black heart.
Eeyore. Also with us is the president of Catholic Answers and pilgrimage leader extraordinaire, Chris Check. Hi, Chris.
Cy, it's good to be with you. And I will just want to underscore what you said about Tim's magazine. By the way, it's certainly the only one in print.
Yes, and it's a beautiful print magazine.
And thanks be to God.
Mm-hmm.
Thanks be to God, the president of this organization is dedicated to print.
Amen.
Amen.
Right. Amen to that. Right. Because there's just something different about the written word on paper than, I don't know, assembled from digits or
you
however.
You can smell it.
Yeah.
Right.
Yeah. Well, thank you both for being here with me. I'm grateful for both of you this Thanksgiving Day. Do you feel full? Are you full from your Thanksgiving dinner?
I'm grateful for you.
That wasn't
thank
the question.
You.
Thank you.
He doesn't want to answer the question.
You know, Cy, I'm going to probably scandalize a lot of our listeners for the how manyth time here. I'm not a big fan of turkey.
Mm. Oh, I think that's okay. That's not, yeah. I mean, it's not like... that's fine.
In my home growing up, we really didn't do it. Occasionally, my father would do this thing. It was very elaborate. I think he found it in James Beard. And he would bone the thing entirely.
Wow.
And then he would take all of the dark meat and run it through a mill and make a force meat out of it, along with the giblets and some other things that he would add into it. And then he would open up the breast and refill... with this force meat and then sew the bird back up so that when you sliced it, you got this combination of the
like
breast
turkey
and the
loaf.
Force meat. Yeah.
Ooh.
It was really, really good. Wow. But that really was literally, we're up at 6 a.m. and he's in the kitchen working on it. But a lot of times we did rib roast, prime rib.
Oh.
And I never got back to turkey until I married Jacqueline, and she looked at me like I was some kind of a heretic.
Well, it is an American heresy not to do so. Yes. I mean, the truth about turkey is it's there. It's not the greatest food.
Gravy. One word, gravy.
Yeah, gravy is there. Now, gravy is the whole deal. Yes.
My oldest son, Nicholas, who's quite good in the kitchen, he insists he can do a turkey without drying out the breast, and he doesn't use a bag or anything like that.
Hmm. I think there's a turkey can be cooked well. I think the probability of it is low. Let me just ask you this about your gravy.
Yes.
Sausage in it or no sausage?
No, I was raised on pure gravy.
Yeah. Just Anglican gravy.
Anglican. Very good. Yeah. Silky, velvety Anglican gravy with a little bit of kitchen bouquet in it for the darkness.
I don't know what kitchen...
Kitchen bouquet is this thing in old people's kitchens. God bless my mother.
Oh, it's a product.
It's basically a darkener. If the gravy is too blonde for something, just aesthetically, you put a little kitchen bouquet in it, and it gives it a darker...
Wow, 53-year-olds, I never heard of this.
Oh, wow. Neither.
I'm going to look that up after this show, I can tell you that. So a lot to be grateful for today. I want to share my personal love for the British Columbia Lions, the football team, the British Columbia Lions.
Is this football soccer?
No, this is Canadian
CFL.
Football. CFL, Canadian Football League. I'm going to get one of their shirts.
Wow.
Yeah.
Why is this, Cy? What's strange?
Well, Because of their 10-year quarterback, Travis Lulé.
Oh, yeah, of course. I have no idea what you're talking
Come
about.
Come on. He said this in a recent interview with Trent Beatty in the National Catholic Register. Travis Lulé, he said the following. This is very, well, you'll see why it's personally very touching to me. One of my favorite media sources is Catholic Answers.
Get out!
He said, I often listen to Catholic Answers live in my car, and I have books by Catholic Answers apologists Jimmy Akin, Trent Horn, and Tim Staples. Aren't you a British Columbia Lions fan
get
now?
Get me one of them t-shirts.
I'm going to get you a t-shirt. I'm going to get t-shirts for the staff from the British. That wasn't that a nice thing that he said?
Crazy. It is wonderful.
Yeah, he's up there in
British
Canada,
Columbia.
Raising a family. And wow. Yeah, and he won the Grey Cup. He's a Grey
no
Cup
kidding.
Champion.
Oh, yes. That's a big deal.
Not this year.
Oh, well.
I don't want to damp down this the joy here too much. But yeah, I thought that was a really nice thing. That's a very nice thing to say.
I'm grateful for that.
Say his name again. What's his name again?
Oh, my gosh. This is one of the greats of Canadian football.
Oh, yeah,
and you're making
Can
me
I say,
say
that I didn't know there was a Canadian football
No, you
league?
Can't say that. Not now. You can say it some other show, but not
play,
now.
They play hockey in Canada, right?
They do. Yes. They love them some hockey. Travis Lulé.
Oh.
Travis Lulé.
Yeah, and I'm going to get you guys British Columbia Lions t-shirts
That's
now.
That's pretty cool.
Yeah.
I like the name Travis.
Yeah. Yeah. And there's a picture of him with his family, with his wife and kids. Look at this lovely
Canadian
family.
Oh, look at that guy.
Aww. Yeah. Isn't that nice?
They do look Canadian.
They don't. What a beautiful family.
Yes.
What a beautiful family. And what a man of great taste in his media selections. What?
That's pretty cool.
Okay, so I'm grateful for that. All right, I got a bunch of things that I'm grateful for. And you might have to, you might be like, well, why are you grateful for this or that? So we'll have to end up having conversations about some of these things. But I'm going to start with, we went to, I'm sorry that,
I feel left out, but I'll just sit here.
Why? Do you know what I'm going to say?
Yes, I think so, but I'll be grateful that I did other things.
We went to where? What?
Rome.
No.
Oh.
Australia.
So much for me. Oh, okay. Well, I'm still.
No, we're going
all right,
back.
So look, it was a crazy fall. It just happened that these two trips were almost right up against one another. We don't usually do any of this stuff. And I do want to assure people, all of this was profitable to the apostolate. None of this cost a dime or anything. So, because I know some people are anxious about that. Like, why are you spending money on this? These were good things for the apostolate.
Someone asked me the other night, did that Australia trip really set Catholic Answers back?
And it set somebody back.
Yeah, our hosts, Perusia Media.
And Evangelization Australia.
Yeah.
Extraordinary groups. I think Perusia Media is just going by Perusia now.
Perusia.
I think they took the media word off. But Perusia... Like, you can't just have that for a name. That means Jesus coming back. Yeah. So you, like...
Yeah, that's like, a little strange.
That belongs to him. He gets to... Well, whatever.
They are wonderful people, Sai.
Oh, my gosh, wonderful people.
Charbel.
Yeah, so this is what I'm thankful for. Okay. And it's going to seem like something to not be thankful for, but when I was in Australia, I grew in my appreciation of the witness of Cardinal Pell. I believe he is giving a Christian witness under duress right now. So I'm grateful for that. What do you guys think?
I agree with you.
No
in fact,
argument.
The joy that man has in spite of the
calumny,
manifest injustices he has been the victim of, and by including by people who should be his friends, the joy is inspiring. You know what he says? I'm on retreat.
God bless him.
I'm on retreat.
He's in prison for crimes that he almost certainly could not just didn't commit,
right.
But could not have
physically
committed.
Couldn't.
Oh, you know, I visited the cathedral in Melbourne when we were in Australia.
Yeah.
And it was explained to me what he was alleged to have done. And just looking at the space, this is impossible.
Right, right. And there's no question, I don't think that people should take it that we are in any way... dismissing that real sexual abuse happened and bishops and even popes did not adequately address this, didn't, and I'm sure for reasons that have to do with sinfulness in many cases, not just incompetence or lack of knowledge, but there's profound sinfulness at work here. Cardinal Pell didn't do that. And so this is, he's paying the price for other people's sins.
Yes.
Which I suppose in a certain way we're supposed to do.
Is very Christians. Christ-like.
Yeah. Make up what is lacking in the sufferings of Christ, which... Man, do them Protestants hate to hear St. Paul quote that. I make up what's lacking in the sufferings of Christ. But we didn't make that up. That's St. Paul that said that. So I feel very grateful for the cardinal. I feel grateful that there are many people who pray for him and see through the travesty.
I am told if you write him, he will write you back.
Oh, now you're messing up his life right now because people are going to be thousands of letters going to him. So, he's got the time on his hands and he's treating it as a retreat. And I do think that the Supreme Court of Australia agreed to hear his case. That's a positive thing. It would be good, I think, for Australia to face that their own court system failed in this regard. And I say this as an American whose our court system fails constantly. We know of the tremendous failures of our own court system again and again, particularly in the civil lawsuit area. I mean, but also in criminal cases as well. But so I don't mean to criticize Australia, but this is a failing of the Australian criminal justice system.
You know, Cy, one of the things, and of course it goes back to the Roman legal system, which the English system adds to and develops out of at the same time. But in both of them, we see a standard for credibility of accusation.
Yeah, right.
And that in large part is where the failure is in the Pell case.
Could this realistically have happened?
Yeah.
All right. More to be thankful for, a whole bunch to be thankful for. And, a lot of fun conversation to come up. Happy Thanksgiving to you. We'll be right back with more Catholic Answers Live right after this.
Did you know you can access Catholic Answers Live right from your phone or other mobile device? Download the Catholic Answers Live app today. The Catholic Answers Live app, available now on iOS and Android.
Underwriting for Catholic Answers Live is provided by Real Estate for Life. Real Estate for Life connects homebuyers and sellers to real estate agents while supporting pro-life organizations. On the web at realestateforlife.org.
The Aquinas Writing Advantage Program is part of Homeschool Connections' set of online courses for your Catholic homeschool. Homeschool Connections' website is homeschoolconnections.com.
The leading Catholic voices are on EWTN Radio.
The reason people should listen is so they can get excited about the faith and then share that faith with others. Because that's what it's about. When we say, Jesus says, come follow me, but he also said, go and make disciples. We'll give you the tools needed for the new evangelization. Because that's the call to bring everyone into a relationship with Jesus Christ.
Open Line with Father Larry Richards, tonight, 10 Eastern, on EWTN Radio.
Some good news here on our Thanksgiving edition of Catholic Answers
Live.
Another thing to be grateful for. They still make kitchen bouquet.
Still?
Yeah. According to Wikipedia, kitchen bouquet is a browning and seasoning sauce primarily composed of caramel or caramel with vegetable flavorings. So it's made by the Clorox company.
It's delicious.
So you can still
Was that last part a joke?
It's made by the Clorox.
No, it's
not. Yes, it is. Look at this. It says it's made by HV Food Products Company, a subsidiary of the Clorox Company.
Well, it does the opposite.
So it's like it's the anti-Clorox.
Yeah, true. It's like if you get this in your shirt, you're going to need the Clorox. So they're making food products intended to make us buy more
bleach.
Brilliant.
It's
brilliant. This is a brilliant company. I need to buy some stock.
Is George Soros
behind
this?
How do you buy stock? George Soros, a genius. Kitchen Bouquet, yeah, congratulations on the most obscure reference we've had on Catholic Answers this year, probably.
You wait. We'll get calls from
really people who use a lot of kitchen
ladies
bouquet?
Like my mother who's have used it their whole lives.
Are you calling your mother a little old lady?
I am. She's 98. And
oh,
she's little.
God, glory to God. What? That's wonderful. And good news for you.
Oh, fantastic.
Because nothing says you're going to live long like parents who live long.
Well, that's not sure I want to live that long, but she's...
Really?
She's...
You're in a rush to get out of here? Chris is. Chris is in a rush to leave. Yeah, he wants to get right to the glory part.
Oh, absolutely. I do not want to live to be 98.
You ready to go?
Not ready to go yet.
Oh, yeah. Well, you got kids. You still have... That's the thing is your kids ruin that for you, though. Like, you might
They may want me to go.
I'm ready to go. Oh, they make you want to go.
No, they may want me to go.
Yeah, but...
no time soon.
You are, Chris Check, you are convinced that death brings a tremendous improvement to everything.
I think it's in the Bible.
Okay. All right. Yeah, it's good to have that faith.
Yeah.
All right, I got something else to be thankful for. I don't know if you guys are going to... I'm listing things to be thankful for today, and you guys are helping me kind of explore them intellectually. I do not know if either of you have heard of this, but a wonderful new thing is now available. The first course of it is now available. It's called A School of Apologetics.
Get out.
Which is what we do. We do apologetics here.
But are you kidding?
There's a school, an online school dedicated to teaching Catholics how to do apologetics.
There's never been one of those, ever.
Who came up with this great idea?
Wow. I believe John Sorensen.
Yep.
Is that, I don't know. I think like in the history of Catholic Answers, everybody has come up with this idea at some point, but nobody has put it into action until our fine leadership of the current board members, Chris Check as president and John Sorensen as chief operating officer.
And I had
they
to
finally
say,
made it happen.
And I had to say John Versillo, who runs the video department.
Okay.
You know, I'm glad you brought this up, Si, because the very first day that I reported for work here at Catholic Answers, I'm sitting in, and I came as the development director.
Yeah.
And I'm sitting in Carl's office and I said, okay, well, you know, what are we raising money for? What are the things that we're raising money for? And he said, well, we've always wanted a school of apologetics. This is a conversation that had gone back since way before I got here. I know it was always—
Since before this century.
Well—
I know this for a fact.
That is
since
true.
Since before this century. Mm-hmm.
That is so. And what really was necessary was we needed a mature IT department—
Okay.
We needed a mature video department and a mature press. And then we needed somebody to make sure the apologists were always pretty much ready to go on this thing. They did have to write their lesson plans and work on them. But and then we needed somebody to make the four parts talk together. And that is John Sorensen. And he's done the operations officer here at Catholic Answers. And he's done a superb job. And I'm grateful for the work of all those departments. Video, John Versillo's video department has carried a lot of that with the set. They go up to Vista, you know, an hour north of here. They take a day to build the set. And
beautiful.
It is beautiful.
Really looks top notch. It could not look better, I don't think.
Yeah. Yeah. And
wait, that's a set?
Yeah. Oh, you thought that they
were
actually
Jimmy Akin's living room.
with all those Rubens. Those are original Rubens on the wall. Yeah.
That's what Jimmy's spending his Catholic Answers money on, huh? Original Paul Rubens.
I thought he opened his home to
I have to tell you, Si, this whole thing, well, by the time so the first course is launched, Introduction to Apologetics. And if you go to Catholic.com, you can learn all about it. Also, schoolofapologetics.com. But we have spent probably close to $500,000 so far to make this work. And then to get the next four out, a lot of it was investment in the set and camera equipment, some additional staff. To get the next four out is going to be probably another $500,000 and over the next couple of years. And I just want to say thank you. There's some people who really stepped up and wrote very, very large checks.
Oh,
to right. But to anyone who wrote a check especially for this purpose, there's a great need. And you've heard me say this, Si, it's not just something I made up. It's in the catechism. It's in canon law. People, Christians, Catholics who are confirmed are obliged to evangelize. That's the word.
Right.
That's the word.
We all are. Yeah.
It's not like, hey, that's a cool idea. Do it if you want. Hope you enjoy it. No, you're obliged. And so And then you hear a lot of like what St. Francis allegedly said, but probably did not, you know, use.
Oh, it's in Trent's book.
Yeah.
Things the saints never said.
Yes.
No, what the saints never said.
I think you probably just sold the 11th copy of that book now.
Yeah. Get that book right now. We've got a warehouse full of them.
But Cy, preach the gospel, use words as necessary. That is very charming. And of course, we are supposed to live a good example. And I don't think St. Francis ever said that. But there comes a point where we have to use words and we have to use them intelligently. And the Catholic faith is an adult faith.
Yeah.
And we have to be able to defend it. And this school of apologetics will train anyone who takes the time to learn how to defend his faith.
Well, now the first one that Jimmy did, it's hours and hours. I might
seven.
Have, I might,
it, 7 hours.
It's out now.
Yes.
So it's actually available.
And it is.
This is the kind of thing that has a kind of weight and permanence to it that, you know, anybody in the world, anywhere, who speaks English, which is a lot of people, can now begin their training as an apologist, begin to answer basic apologetics questions, and then it'll become more advanced as it becomes more specified, right? So as you get into the individual areas, like...
So Jimmy's is Introduction to Apologetics, and then coming up will be Evidence for God and Evidence for the Church, and then the Moral Life.
Uh-huh.
So those are the next three, I believe, that are on their way.
Let's just say this. What if somebody was like, hey, I want to take that Jimmy Akin course?
SchoolofApologetics.com.
SchoolofApologetics.com.
Or Catholic.com.
Yeah. And why Jimmy? Like, Jimmy, why? Why do you get an iconic apologist to do the first one?
You know, Cy, I was talking to somebody about this the other day. I think there may be fewer than a dozen really first-rate apologists in the United States.
Yeah.
And four of them are on staff here at Catholic Answers full-time.
Isn't that something? Yeah.
It is.
Like these guys can take, really, you can ask them almost any question about the faith because they study constantly. And in the case of Jimmy and Tim, it's formation. I mean, it's 25, 30 years of they've been practicing this, doing it in a practical way for all those years. It's kind of fun. I don't know how you feel when you host the show, Chris, but sometimes a question will come and I'm like, nah, there's no way. But they know it. They know it.
This happened to me twice. It was not doing the show, but when we were in Australia and we were doing a panel, and I don't remember what the question was now, but Carlo fielded it, and then he's about a third into his answer, and I'm just staring at him in amazement as he is taking scripture and the fathers and the natural law and logic and just answering this question with so much precision and simplicity and beauty. And I'm like, where did this kid come from?
I know.
And then
it's study in his regard. You see him.
Oh,
study
every time
all
you walk by his office, he's got his nose in a book. And then it also happened at our conference in September. Always the last weekend in September here in San Diego, and it was on the Q&A panel, and it was a question about marriage and marital relations.
Oh, I remember that.
And Trent. Is there such a thing as the conjugal debt?
Yeah. Right.
And Trent starts fielding this question with just the wisdom and grace of somebody like three times his age.
Which is like what, 21? I don't know.
and so, I'm when I see Jimmy and Tim. Field the question, I'm like, okay, these guys have been in the trenches for a long time.
They know.
I'm not that surprised by it.
Right.
Although I still kind of and marvel at it.
It is wonderful, to see how much Tim and Jimmy help Trent and Carlo in their preparations. Like they're constantly kind of mentoring them about not just, I think, just facts, which are important, but also techniques for answering questions.
It's a funny thing, Cy. I mean, I'm not an apologist. My degree is in English literature, and my advanced training is in field artillery. So, yeah, what am I doing here at the helm of this apostolate? I feel like I've got kind of like this Excalibur in my hands, you know, with these four guys that I'm responsible for.
Right.
But they'll do the first four.
The first four classes will be them.
Yes.
Right.
Yeah.
Okay. And then you could get Robert, too, Robert Haddad from...
He'd be wonderful.
Isn't he great?
He is great.
But he's not in America. You said 12. So one third of the really...
I said maybe 12.
Maybe 12 yeah. in the U.S. Yeah. who can do what these guys do.
Yeah, but we'll have stuff on liturgy. There'll be historical stuff that I will do. We'll get Steve Weidenkopf in to do some historical stuff. I don't know if he knows that or not, but if he's listening now, he does. Now that the platform exists, the online platform, and the set is built... And the system is in place to publish the workbooks and all that. Adding will be easy.
We've only begun to scratch the surface of the things that we have to be thankful for this year as well. I'll give you a little more information when we come back on the other side about how you can take the courses in the School of Apologetics. Our guests, Tim Ryland, editor of Catholic Answers magazine, and Chris Check, president of Catholic Answers. I'm Cy Kellett, your host, right back with more stuff to be thankful for on this Thanksgiving.
Everybody's favorite Catholic outer space delivery pilots return for their greatest adventure yet in the brand new graphic novel Weapons of War. Fresh from saving the solar system in The Truth Is Out There and saving the timeline of salvation history in The Big Picture, Brendan and Irk land in a magnificent domed city on Mars for what is supposed to be a simple shuttle job. But soon they find themselves caught up in a sinister assault on faith and freedom. Will Mars be lost to the enemy? Brendan and Irk's only hope for the flight is in the power of God's sacramental gifts. A totally new kind of Catholic resource for apologetics and evangelization, The Truth Is Out There series combines the visual excitement and quirky humor of graphic novels with solid popular philosophy and theology. The result is a series in which everyone from teens to adults can find accessible answers to questions about God, the soul, true happiness, and much more. Order your copy of Weapons of War today by calling 844-239-4952, by visiting shop.catholic.com, or asking for it at a good Catholic bookstore near you.
Did you know you can access Catholic Answers Live right from your phone or other mobile device? Download the Catholic Answers Live app today. The Catholic Answers Live app, available now on iOS and Android.
If you're a Catholic who sometimes gets intimidated by the Bible, Jimmy Akin's The Bible is a Catholic Book will help you better understand and take pride in this gift that God gave the world through the church. Don't let anyone tell you otherwise. Catholics are the original Bible Christians. Order your copy of The Bible is a Catholic Book today by calling 844-239-4952, by visiting shop.catholic.com, or asking for it at a good Catholic bookstore near you.
Hi, this is Dr. David Anders. If you just don't understand something about the Catholic faith, Call to Communion is the show for you. Join us Monday at 2 p.m. Eastern on EWTN Radio. Now, back to Catholic Answers Live.
I hope they used to say there's some kind of chemical in turkey that makes you sleepy.
Tryptophan.
Tryptophan. I don't know if that's real. I think it's just the fact that you stuff yourself full of stuff and then you go, oh, time for dessert. And then you shove that on top of it and then you're sleepy.
Let's get Trent Horn on the tryptophan question.
Oh, I know. Trent would know. Trent, let's get Jimmy and Trent in a debate about tryptophan. I bet they could do it. They could.
They could. It would last forever. Yeah.
Yeah. They could debate White. What's his name? Sorry.
James White.
Yeah, yeah. On whether tryptophan is real or not. But maybe you have that feeling. Thanks for being with us for this Thanksgiving edition of Catholic Answers
Live.
Maybe
we're helping to lull people to sleep. Maybe it's not the tryptophan.
Yeah, right. It's all the fine media.
Catholic Answers Live.
Oral tryptophan right here, folks.
Oral. Yes. Nicely done. Why would you have a language two words sound exactly the same and mean very similar things? Yeah. Like, the English is the worst language. These should not be words, aural and oral.
Do you know something? English is the best language.
It is the best language.
That's why all...
especially the way Americans speak it.
That's why we have the greatest body of literature. Because we have so many words.
I'll tell you another reason why we have the greatest body of literature, because England became a Christian nation around the year 400. And being a Christian nation is a fundamental prerequisite for having great literature.
Well, I agree with you, but we also had the language to work with. We have the most words.
Yeah.
And then Russian.
Well, tell me your favorite Buddhist novel.
Yeah.
Sorry. And but it's the truth.
And then French.
Christianity has a connection to art that includes music, the visual arts, and literature that no other religion has been able to.
It is funny you say this, Si, because of course now it's already happened. We're gonna have a month of often treacly, but nonetheless popular Christmas music, and there is nothing else. There is no other event in human history, and by the way, it is an event in human history.
It is indeed a historical event
that has inspired music, so much music.
Yeah,
not even close.
But is there any good music about the Nativity of the Lord?
There's tons.
Did Handel or Bach bother?
Gustav Holst?
Yeah, you're right.
In the Bleak Midwinter, that's my favorite.
Probably everyone on earth could sing the Alleluia Chorus. Probably.
Yeah, that's true.
I don't know if everyone, but almost everyone on earth could sing the Alleluia Chorus from Handel's Messiah. I said I would give some information. Look at this, a note from Carrie. You can get the introductory rate of $30 if you sign up now for the apologetics course.
Are you kidding
Way
me?
Way too low.
$30?
Yeah, for the beginning apologetics.
Because it's $89.
It's $30 right now at shop.catholic.com.
How long is that?
Another thing to be thankful for.
How long is that good for? That's ridiculous.
I don't know. It's probably here in the note somewhere.
Get Carrie in here.
It doesn't say when it ends. It just says you can get it now.
It ends as soon as the show is over. I go talk to
gets
Carrie
a phone call
back.
Into Carrie. Yeah, $30 at shop.catholic.com to get the introductory beginning apologetics course, seven hours of video and all kinds of stuff from Jimmy Akin.
Oh my gosh, that's a bargain. Folks, you better grab that now. That is not going to last.
Oh, I'm sorry. I misread that. It's actually $30 off. The price is $89. That you get $30 off and that brings it down to $89. So yes, Chris, you were right. Something spectacular is also going to happen right during this time slot on these very stations tomorrow. The first internationally recorded episode of Catholic Answers Live.
Wow.
Did you know that?
Is that with Robert Haddad?
Robert is not on that one. No, thanks. Thanks for bringing that down. It's Dr. Stacy Trusenko, scientist and theologian.
Oh, she lives in Texas.
Yes, Tim Staples.
Which is an independent country.
No, Tim Staples and Carlo Broussard, hosted by yours truly. It was recorded at Notre Dame University in Perth, Australia. Perth, Australia.
Wow.
And we've never done that before. Nick did the sound work. He got it all cleaned up.
He mastered it.
He mastered it, as he did with your son's new single.
Bombay Beach
from Nick Check and the Dead Century. So tomorrow you will hear Catholic Answers as it happened just last month in Australia. And then we're going to do it. We got another recording of 2 hours from Australia that will air December what? 8th? Nick? No. December 6th? December
10th.
9th.
9th.
That's 9th. He had his thumb down like that. December 9th. So look for that.
He was missing a thumb.
Yeah, I'm excited about that. I think we're going to do more of that in our travels, I think it worked, right, Nick? So we can use the same method again to do the show somewhere else.
How about the focus with the lovely lady who worked for the...
My blank is mine right now.
The canonist who worked for the diocese in Sydney, you did a focus with her.
We have not aired that yet. I apologize. Stop looking at me like that, Nick and Darren.
She was superb.
She's wonderful, and I have a beautiful recording of it, which I did not give to Nick yet.
And her name is...
Yeah, right. She was wonderful.
This is terrible.
She was, we did a full 30 minutes on pro-life issues in Australia, but we also talked about the confession controversy.
Right.
Do you know what I'm talking about?
Yes, that now the seal of the confessional is threatened by Australian law.
Yeah, right. Exactly. I don't know why I'm blanking on her name.
We'll get it after terrible. The break. I'm thankful for people like her. She's heroic and very bright.
Oh,
and
articulate,
brilliant. Full of joy.
Good. Yeah, right. You just felt good about being Catholic around her. Monica Dumit
Right.
Monica Dumit. Sorry, it just came to me. Just popped into my head.
You're brilliant.
You're so smart.
When I searched it on Google, it just, a lot of times Google pops things into my head. Okay, you ready for another thing I'm grateful for?
Yes.
I do not know if you two are going to dispute me on this. I don't know if you're going to be like, that's not something to be grateful for.
Okay.
I'm grateful for Mr. Rogers. He's getting a ton of attention.
The first film, I understand, was quite good.
Which first film?
The documentary.
That's my understanding as well. And there's a new Tom Hanks movie.
He looks just like him.
Yeah,
have you seen stills
Fred
from
Rogers.
The picture?
Yeah,
he looks exactly like him.
You know what? Put on a red cardigan and some Keds. We all look like Mr. Rogers. Maybe not. Maybe not. But
you're kind of like the Mr. Rogers of Catholic radio.
Thank you so much.
with a little bit of an edge.
So I try to be, Mr. Rogers
edgier.
With an edge. I always like, wouldn't it be great to know what was the edgiest moment of Mr. Rogers' life? Like, where did he really go out there? But I feel this is good because Mr. Rogers gave Christian witness.
He did.
To kindness.
Mm-hmm.
And it's good to have, everyone's like, you know, a lot of the media has to make everything about Trump and in this time of like Trump invented the incivility of our society. The incivility of our society. Look, you want to blame somebody? Blame the Chicago 7. Ooh, I just got real on these people. But blame Tom Hayden. Somebody's going to have to look all these people up. But look, this has started in the 1950s and 60s, the incivility of our society. And it didn't start with the right wing either.
No.
So all these people that tore down civility and now blame it on people like President Trump, who is not a particularly civil person much of the time. I mean, I'm perfectly happy to admit that. But let's be honest about where this came from. It came from the very Hollywood that's mad about it now. But I still think, despite the fact that everything gets framed in this way, Christian witness is Christian witness, and I believe that that's what Mr. Rogers gave, is basic Christian witness about being a good neighbor, about treating everyone as your neighbor, as Jesus instructed, and about being kind.
From Latrobe, Pennsylvania.
Hmm. Is that the same place that the beer comes from?
Rolling Rock. And our development officer, Christine Venditti.
She comes from Latrobe?
Near Latrobe, from a farm near Latrobe.
Yep. She's not as nice as Mr. Rogers.
She's pretty nice.
No.
Yeah, she's pretty nice.
She's pretty nice.
Is she? Well, yeah. I don't know. I have mixed feelings about her work.
Those Western Pennsylvania people are very sweet.
So I feel grateful for this because I do feel like at some point, despite the fact that people want to treat Mr. Rogers as just a media figure, there's going to have to be discussion about his deep, profound Christian Lutheran, in his case, faith. And that maybe people will notice that that's what Christian faith does, that Christian faith is not this threat to, I don't know, threat to whatever the latest moral innovation is. I mean, it is kind of threatening to injustice, I hope. But, you know, this idea that Christianity is somehow a retrograde, is that the right word? I don't know, reactionary kind of thing.
You know what it is about Fred Rogers, Cy, is there's no criticism of him.
Right.
Whether from left or right. And so there's a common, there's a common appeal in Fred Rogers and in the work that he did. And you've called it kindness, of course, but it does absolutely, as you say, locate its origins in Christian charity. And so it is an interesting question whether or not people will say, that's in fact where it comes from.
But also, I would say to those people who are unsatisfied with any kind of Christianity that's not politically combative, get over it. It's not supposed to be politically combative.
I've said this from this microphone in the past. The church is not a political movement.
No, it's not a movement.
She is an institution for the care of souls.
Yeah. And souls need kindness. They need to be reminded of God's love for them. Mm-hmm. I think that's what Fred Rogers was about.
Well, I think in the cynical age, people just so want to assume that that was an act, right? I mean,
right.
It was Mr. Rogers on air,
right.
But he was just a normal guy who probably swore every now and then. But I think this, the movie certainly, I've only seen the trailers, but there's this recognition that, no, this was the man.
All the time.
This All the time. This was not an act.
This is who he was.
He was a truly humble, kind human being.
Right.
It wasn't a facade. It wasn't an act. And as you say, it's based, and its basis is Christianity.
The puppets on that show were weird.
King Friday.
Yeah, the puppets, they were weird. But the other thing about that is it's not a lot of children's television is a laser light show now.
Well, this is the thing I was going to say.
It's a disaster for children. Yeah. It's a horror for children. And his show was not.
It actually was quiet.
Peaceful. Yeah.
It was quiet. It was slow.
Told stories.
It was slow.
Yeah.
And it was low tech. It couldn't have been more low tech.
Kind of like this show.
I don't know. It had that train. That's kind of high tech.
Right. I thought it was a trolley.
Oh, you're... I got to take a break now. I've failed now. I'm going to make myself some cereal and bouquet. What's the stuff called again?
Kitchen bouquet.
Kitchen bouquet.
It's a real thing.
I'm going to have some Lucky Charms with kitchen bouquet, and we'll be right back on Catholic Answers Live.
St. Paul's street evangelization isn't like other evangelism you might have seen on the streets. We don't yell, and we don't force anyone to pay attention to us. Instead, St. Paul's street evangelization is committed to presenting a positive, passionately Catholic presence to a world hungry for truth. For more information, or to start a chapter of your own, go to www.streetevangelization.com. That's streetevangelization.com. It's time to do our part.
Prayer is powerful because it's prayer. It's not powerful because it alters the universe in the way we want. God's a lot smarter than that. He says to pray because it has power. Now, whether it turns out the way we want is not an indicator of the particular power of prayer. It is powerful because it is.
Back to Catholic Answers Live, Thanksgiving edition. Happy Thanksgiving to you. If you're in the car on your way to Grandma's house, safe travels to you. Maybe lots of folks travel this weekend. Blessings and safe travels to you. But don't forget, don't let your suffering go to waste when the plane is delayed or whatnot. Go ahead, offer it up. My grandmother used to say that to me all the time as a child. Offer it up. You know, you get hurt, offer it up.
Yep.
I had no clue what she was talking about. But I think I do now. Do you know?
Well, we said it to our kids all the time.
Okay, so explain to me what you mean if you say offer it up. Is that just a Catholic thing or do other Christians offer it up?
I think it's a Catholic thing.
It is Catholic.
It's a Catholic thing. So what does that mean, offer it up?
It meant in our family that we can marry our sufferings to the sufferings of Christ, as St. Paul says, that we can make up for what's lacking in his sufferings with our own and make just pure suffering become something that's beneficial, something that has a positive effect for other people.
Oh, so we were much more mercenary about it in the Czech house. For us, it meant offer it up and cut time off of purgatory.
Oh, that's a good thing.
For yourself or for others? For somebody.
I mean, I guess you could do it for others. Is that it?
You know, I have to say it had a slightly perverse effect on me as a child in that when I began to associate these instances of suffering with God, with a God, and it made me a little annoyed with him.
Yeah.
Like, I don't want to offer it up.
Yeah, no,
leave me alone.
My kids were the same way.
Yeah.
It's like, you offer it up.
Yeah, right.
All right, go sit on the steps for 10 minutes.
Yeah, that's some just of part the, of my, some, I'm a very holy person.
Some of the best advice Jackie and I ever got was from a priest when we lived back in Illinois, Father Jerome Kotnik, and he said, if you pray for patience, you're going to get opportunities to exercise patience.
Yes.
You're not just going to get sudden feelings of patience.
No, you're going to get tests until you learn to be patient. Yeah.
And so Jackie said, I'm going to stop praying for patience.
I don't know. I'm a coward about praying for certain things.
Oh, yeah. Oh,
because
sure.
I feel like, no he'll give them to me. Yeah. Like, I know that he'll give it to me. And so I actually kind of am squirrely about, I don't want to pray for that. I don't want to be patient.
Si, you gave a beautiful talk when we were in Rome about the spiritual biography of St. Peter and that first step being his encounter.
With
his,
Christ.
His meeting with Christ. And we're all we can all have that meeting. We just have to ask for it. I thought that was really wonderful how beautifully and simply you rendered that.
Right.
But I think there are a lot of people who haven't asked for it.
That's the thing. If you want to meet Christ, you just say, Lord, I want to meet you.
I want to meet you.
And he will meet you.
Yes.
And it's not going to happen in the way you want it to happen or on your time frame.
No, because, but it will.
Because part, I do believe that part of God's revelation of himself is the manner in which he reveals himself. And if he revealed himself in just the way we want him to, like, why don't you just sit here and talk to me? That would not be him. Like, the manner of his revealing is always respectful and is not in a hurry, is not worried, is patient and wants your flourishing. And so you have to accept that he's going to reveal himself the way he reveals himself, because that manner of revelation is part of what you need to know about him, and that he's not just at your beck and call.
It's perfect.
Yeah, and it's perfect.
His manner is perfect. This is something I'm grateful for, Si, and more aware of than I was at this time last year, and that's God's providence.
Yes, amen. Why do you think? Do you think particular things have happened that have made you thankful for God's providence, or?
I marvel at all the graces in my own life and in those of my family and in my professional life. And by that, I don't mean that I think of this position as a career. I don't. That's not what I mean by it. But this is what we do here at Catholic Answers. This is our work. And I just am, I'm so grateful, first of all, to be at the helm of this organization, of this apostolate, but for everyone who works here and everyone here in the building with me at the lead is imperfect, but everybody here in the building is trying to live a Christian life.
Ryland wants to disagree with
what?
You on the imperfect part.
What? What?
Yeah.
And I have a better sense of that, I think, than I did at this time last year. I mean, it's one of those things you're sort of intellectually aware of all the time, but I sense it. And I think a lot of it has to do with the presence of Father Hugh in our company here.
I'm sure that's the case. I agree with you on that.
And it was good to have him down here in the building the other day. He was down here doing a class for the apologists, and his health is improving. Pray for Father Hugh Barber. But his that's a lot of it. His constant reminder to all of us here at Catholic Answers that we need to love one another.
Yes,
we need.
It's so basic and so perfect. What he it's a constant reminder from him. None of the rest of that stuff you guys are doing matters if you don't love each other. If you don't love the people you're talking to on the radio, none of that rest of that matters. It's all, you might even say, a clanging gong.
Right. Yeah. Well, interior life. Without love of God, it doesn't matter. Another little, there's a little book now that I've been through several times, and I give it away to people now. It's by Wilfred Stinson, called Into Your Arms.
Oh.
And it's about surrendering to God's providence. I think we sell it at Catholic.com. I know Ignatius Press brought it out. But if someone wants an introduction, an easy, easy introduction to God's providence, Into Your Arms.
You know, if I may, while we're on this, I had a, well, we did this pilgrimage to Rome, and what it was in my mind was an organizational task until we got back from Australia, because I'm a one thing at a time person.
I am the same way.
So I couldn't really wrap my head around, we're going to Rome on pilgrimage. It just couldn't. Until I didn't even know this about myself. I was just like, okay, we're getting it done. We're getting the registrations done. We're taking care of this and that. And then we got back from Australia, and suddenly Rome, it's just nothing between me and Rome is coming up. And I began to feel very strongly in my heart a deep emotion about that we were going to Rome, that I was going to. And for me, because my confirmation name is Peter, I felt like, it was a journey to go see St. Peter And it felt very, and nothing about going to Rome disappointed any of that. It wasn't like, nah, that didn't really work out. It felt like the people we went with were on pilgrimage. Our chaplain, holy smokes, he was wonderful.
Monsignor Eugene Morris. Who will be with us on our cruise in June.
Yeah. Just a good, so brilliant, but just a good man. Like, just so good. But going on the Scavi and where you walk underneath St. Peter's, where they've dug out, and you're in a graveyard from the first century, and you come upon St. Peter's bones, the more I reflected on it before going there, then having the experience and then coming back, I do feel like, I said this to a friend of mine who's a theologian. I said, I feel like my faith is stronger because I went there. Like it's, I feel, I said, because what you see is Peter there, and Peter crucified and then just dragged across the street. They dug a hole and threw him in. Okay. And on top of that is the total transformation of the world in stages. You know, there's the pre-Constantinian Christianity that builds a temple, not a temple, but a little monument to him. And then on top of that is the Constantinian Christianity that builds a box on top of the monument, and then an altar on top of the box, and a basilica on top of that. And then there's modern Christianity with Michelangelo and Bernini and all this. And it's all in a vertical, perfect vertical line. And you see...
And verified in the 20th century.
Yeah, and it's... That's our whole faith. There's this man who walked with Jesus, who saw the risen Lord, who lived his life founding the church, and then died, gave his life right there across the street, which would have been Nero's circus. And then on top of that, it's a perfect parable of if the seed goes into the ground, then it bears fruit. And you can literally see the fruit. And my friend, the theologian, said, that's the definition of culture. Culture is supposed to make it easier for you to see the truth about God. And what you have there is a culture. And on top of it is St. Peter's, probably one of the heights of culture. It's probably one of the greatest monuments to human culture.
It certainly is a spectacular dome.
So and humanized culture, you know, in Christ.
I've been to Rome, I think, maybe a dozen times. But on this trip, I had an awareness, a sense of continuity among the cloud of witnesses.
Yeah,
because, of course, we did see St. Peter's bones, but also we went out to St. Paul outside the walls where
right.
his skull is, and we had mass over the altar where St. Philip Neri is buried, and St. Paul of the Cross as well, and St. Agnes, and
one day
Justin Martyr, we could take up the rest of the time listening, so there is a continuous story, the greatest story, right?
Yeah.
There's a continuous story that was obvious to me in the persons and the places when we were in Rome, in the way first Rome transformed in Christ. Pagan Rome transformed in Christ, but then brought all the way up to our current age, which is an age which is troubled. There's no question about
right.
it. But but that trouble notwithstanding, anyone who looks at this 2,000-year history made manifest in all of these saints and in all of this art and in all
Amen.
This architecture
right.
can't but be speechless and overwhelmed with joy.
It's right. It's just full of joy, and that's. I feel very grateful for that, and I would not have expected when we began planning that a pilgrimage could do what this did for me. Like, it just a profound, like, get it now. Like, here's Peter, and here's the flowering of the church above him, and this is what we're doing, and it's fine. You just, all you got to do is cooperate and participate. That's
and
all. You just get involved.
And
you know,
the gates of
be
hell,
part of this.
The gates of hell will not prevail.
Will not prevail against it. Our guests this hour are Tim Ryland, the editor of Catholic Answers Magazine, and Chris Check, the president of Catholic Answers. They'll both be back next hour. We got more things to be thankful for on this Thanksgiving. Join us right after this on Catholic Answers Live.